It's so good to be with you here this morning. Amen. Isn't it beautiful? Wow. It's a full house. It's good to be in church. God is good. Amen. All the time. God is so good. What an interesting year 2020 has been, hasn't it? An interesting year. I was just telling someone before that as pastors of churches, we've had to adapt and change things to how we do church. Amen. And it's been a challenge, but at the same time, God has been good to us, and God has always provided for our needs. Amen. And I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. We have a wonderful relationship with your pastor, Pastor Gerard. So it's a wonderful man of God. You're blessed to have a pastor like Gerard. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a big, big clap for your pastor? Come on. Amen. Usually every year I go and preach at least one weekend of a month out of my church, and at least once a year I go international to do an international ministry. So in 2019, I went to Canada. And the year before, I went to Japan. And then in between that, preaching throughout Australia. But this year, this is the first time that I preach away from my church because of what has happened throughout this year. I haven't been able to preach interstate or let alone go overseas. And so I'm excited, man. I'm excited to be able to preach the Word of God to new faces, to a new crowd, to another church. And the brother said he gives me freedom to preach whatever God has laid on my heart. So I believe that this morning that the Word that God has deposited on my heart is a Word for you, is a Word for this church. Amen. So is your heart open? Are you ready to hear the Word of God? We have worshipped Jesus. We have praised Jesus. We believe that the Holy Spirit is in this place. Do we believe that? We believe that the presence of God is here. Well, then God's presence comes not just to make us feel good. His presence doesn't just come to give us the Holy Ghost goosebumps, although they're nice. But He comes to get the job done in our lives. Anybody sick this morning, He wants to heal you. Anybody discouraged this morning, He wants to encourage you. Any marriage going through some issues, through some struggles, He wants to do some work in that marriage today. Something good happens when we're in God's presence. Amen? So open up your heart, be expectant, and let's allow God to speak to us this morning. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis, chapter 35. You know, it's amazing. I was just sharing with Ben before and his wife that throughout the time of restrictions, we didn't have church for 5 months. And I was talking to other pastors in other states, and pastors were nervous, you know. They didn't know if the people would respond anyway, continue giving online. You know, people saying, oh, I don't know how to use media, so I cannot give online, so I'll wait and I'll give when I come back to church, when the restrictions are over. And some of those families never came back to church, you know. They didn't want to bring all their tithes from the 5 months that they were away from the church. But throughout that time, I was praying in June, and the Lord laid on my heart to go out, and because we're renting a facility, and it wasn't the best facility. And the Lord laid on my heart, go and look for a place for your church. Go and look for a place to lease, because there was a lot of people handing over their buildings because they couldn't pay their lease. And when I'm praying, I thought, I looked up at God and said, really? Really? Go and look for a place now in this whole time of turmoil, and we don't know what's going to happen, how long this is going to be. And he said, I'll go and the words that I heard were, just go and spy it out. Go and have a look. Go and entertain the idea, and I'll lead you. And so we proceeded to look at buildings with my wife and a couple of our leaders. And we looked for about 2 weeks, and eventually we found a building there. Our church is in Slacks Creek on the south side of Brisbane. And we found a beautiful building there that we thought was right for us. It needed some refurbishing, needed some work. But we proceeded to go ahead and do all the paperwork. And the owner of the building is Spirit-filled. He's a believer. He goes to Hillsong. And even in that, God has deposited us in the right place with someone that knows what a church needs. How many of you believe that God is good? Amen. So we, in about July, we signed all the paperwork, and then we began to work on it, do all the painting, the carpeting, put up a stage. And in the end of August, we opened up our church, and our first church service was in a brand new facility. God is good. Amen. So throughout that time, restrictions, that time where what the devil meant for evil, God turns it around for our good. Amen. God is good. You know, the word that God gave, I'm already preaching. Amen. The word that God gave to me at the beginning of the restrictions was Ephraim. Ephraim. Everybody say Ephraim. That's one of the sons of Joseph. He had two sons, Ephraim, Manasseh. And Ephraim means God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. And the word of God to me, and I shared it with my church, was in this midst of this famine and in this time of affliction, in this time of fear, God will cause us to be fruitful. We will be fruitful. God will bless us. God will increase us. And he did. We found that building. Many people in the church received promotions. Those that had business increased their business. Beloved, we serve a good God. Come on. We serve a good God. Can you say amen? He's a good God. Amen. Nothing catches him by surprise. Catches us by surprise. But if we're in the center of his will, amen, where he leads, where he guides, he provides. Amen? Okay. Genesis chapter 35. Let's read from verse 1 through to verse 7. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 to verse 7. Do you have it? You can say amen. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. If you haven't found it, we'll pray for you after the service and say, Lord, help him to read the Bible. Praise God. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 to verse 7 says, and God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. Verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were around about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, and which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. Now look at verse 7. And he built there, where? At Bethel, an altar, and called the place El Bethel, El, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Let me say that again, verse 7. And he built an altar there at Bethel, and he called the place El Bethel, El, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now, let's go to verse 10. And God said unto him, your name is Jacob. Now your name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called his name Israel. Can you say amen to the word of God this morning? El Bethel, El. A powerful word that Jacob received at this encounter that he had at Bethel. Bethel became El Bethel. And it's very significant there, the experience that Jacob had with God was different to the experience he had with God the first time at Bethel. Something happened. There was a transition into a deeper experience with God. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob, this man, had an experience with God when he was fleeing from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. The Bible says there he was in great distress. He was afflicted and he fled, and he came to a place that he later called Bethel, where he had a dream. If you remember that passage there, you can read it when you get home. Genesis chapter 28, where he sees a ladder reaching from the earth to heaven. And on that ladder, he sees angels descending and ascending. Amen. That's a powerful type of something supernatural happens at Bethel. There is a there is a ladder, amen. There is a connection between that place and heaven. And there is activity, angelic activity, angels bringing the answers, and angels taking the petitions to God. And something happens at Bethel. Something supernatural must happen at Bethel. And not only that, when he wakes up out of his sleep, he makes the declaration there in verse 15 and 16. He says, surely the Lord is in this place. Talking about Bethel. Surely the Lord is in this place. Amen. And he says, how awesome is this place? The literal word there says how fearful, but the word is how awesome. Awesome is this place. Bethel is a place that is awesome. Church, and I'm going to let you know what that means there, but wherever God's presence is, it is an awesome place. And that's the revelation that he got. That there's a ladder, there's supernatural activity. Then he says, this is an awesome place. And then he says, this is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. Wow. So he's in great distress. He's running away. He's agitated. He's looking for purpose in life. He's looking for direction. He arrives at a place. He puts a rock to use as a pillow. He falls asleep. And he has this encounter with God at Bethel. And his conclusion is, surely the Lord is in this place. It's an awesome place. It's none other than the house of God. And then he says, it is the gate of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. And then he says, I call this place Bethel. Bethel. Now, I don't know if you know what the word Bethel means. It's a powerful word. But El Bethel is even more powerful. But at least he had a Bethel experience. The word Bethel literally means house of God. It means house of the Lord, house of God. He had an experience at this place and he called it Bethel, house of God. Now, Bethel, the house of God, should be, so if we look at it now in New Testament, I know and people say, well, I'm the house of God, and I'm the temple, I understand that, but there's a place that we go to as the church where we corporately gather that we call the house of God, which is church, which is this place. And truly, Bethel, the house of God, should be a place where there is no doubt about it. Surely the Lord is in there. The Lord is in that place. Church should be a place, I'm going to say it again, where it should be evident that the Lord is there. Because it's the house of God. It should be a place that leaves us in awe. That's an awesome place. Amen. That's an awesome place. The house of God, that church, Hope Point Church, the house of the Lord, that is an awesome place. It is the gate of heaven. There is a connection between this place and heaven where there should be an open heaven over this place. It should be a gate of heaven. The sad thing today with many churches, many house of gods, is that they are more a gate of the culture than a gate of heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Say, oh my, that hurt. But it's more a gate of the culture than a gate of heaven. See, we should get a little bit of heaven in the house of God. We should get a taste of the kingdom in the house of God. Amen. This place should be an awesome place. It should be a place where people leave going, surely the Lord is in there. Surely the Lord is in that place. It is a gate of heaven. Well, what is the culture of heaven? The culture of heaven, every time you read in the New Testament, when it talks about the kingdom of God, you will always see a number of things, including miracles, signs and wonders, the supernatural, and anointed preaching and teaching. The kingdom. Whenever Jesus would say, and the kingdom of God has come, it would be after someone was healed. It would be after someone was raised from the dead. The kingdom of God has come. That is the flavor, that is the aroma of heaven. Can you say amen, church? That is the aroma of heaven. The culture of heaven, amen, is the power of God manifesting with miracles, the supernatural, amen, healing, deliverance, salvation, restoration, encouragement, increase, growth. That's the aroma of heaven. And that's why in the book of Acts, and I can't get there today because it's just a big teaching, but in the book of Acts, then the Bethel, the aroma of heaven, was not just locked up in a building, it was then an expression on the streets. Amen. We receive something in the house of God, and then we take something out into the streets that introduces people to the kingdom. So Peter is walking the streets and his shadow is healing people. Amen. So it's not locked up to a building. It's not the signs, wonders, and miracles and the supernatural in the early church was not a conference or an event that you attended on a Sunday morning. It was a lifestyle. But this is the hub. The house of God is the hub. That's when the brothers and the sisters and the family of God come together. And this is where we should, man, we should be able to swim in the presence of God in here. It should be an awesome place. People should leave the house of God going, what was that? That was awesome. Surely there's a presence in that house. Surely there's something there. It's a gate of heaven. But today, people walk into church and it's just another place. It's just another house where we sing a few songs, where we hear a message, and where we go home and have our Sunday lunch. And really nothing significant happened. We had a wonderful time, very polished. Everything proper, everything perfect, everything detailed. We've got everything worked out. We tell the Holy Spirit we've got it. We've got this. Can you imagine telling the Holy Spirit, we've got this. We know how to do church. We know how to bring them in. We know how to get them saved. We've got this, Holy Spirit. We know how to reach this generation. Just wait, sit in the back corner a little bit. And if there's a little bit of time at the end, we'll let you loose for the last 3 minutes. Come on. He is welcome in this place. He should be moving in this place. But listen to this. Even with going to Bethel, in Genesis 28, the experience that Jacob had at Bethel, he had an encounter with Bethel. So he had an encounter with the house of God. In Genesis 35, at Bethel, at the house of God, he now has a different encounter in Bethel. He has an encounter that causes him to rename it to El Bethel El, which means this. Anybody know? El Bethel El. It literally means this. The God of the house of God. El God, the God of the house of God. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Oh, see, in Genesis 28, he has an experience with the house of God. In Genesis 23, in the house of God, he has an experience with the God of the house. Oh, you didn't get that. I'll say it again. In Genesis 28, he comes to church and he has an experience with the house of God. He enjoys the house of God. He enjoys the culture of the house. He enjoys the connections that he makes. He enjoys the music. He enjoys the message. There is a superficial aspect to his church attendance. But in Genesis 35, he goes to the house of God. That's the introduction. But in that experience, he has an encounter with the God of the house. And therefore, his name is changed. He has a divine experience with the God of the house. I want to encourage you this morning, beloved church, that we need to go further. We need to push harder to to get to a place where we don't just have an encounter with Bethel, but we have an encounter with El Bethel. That we don't just have an encounter with the house of God, but we experience and have an encounter with the God of the house. Hallelujah. When you experience the God of the house, everything changes in your life. When you have an experience with the God of the house, that's when your name is changed. That's when everything changes on the inside of you. That's when you get excited to go to the house of God. Because I'm going to meet Him. Now, I understand you can meet Him every day of the week and you have a relationship with Him, but there's something about coming to the house of God, amen, that it opens us up to the heavens. There's a ladder. There's the presence of God. But I don't just want to be left with walking out of church going, man, that was a good service. I don't want just a good service. I want a God service. A good service, it's good. But a God service, watch out. You never know. You just never know what's going to happen. Brother Rob, how you doing, brother? I've been looking at you. Anyway, we'll talk later. Praise God. I used to come to my church a long time ago. Praise God. Good to see you. Amen. Let's be going. Where was I? Yeah. See, when you have an experience with Bethel, yeah, that was good. If you look at Jacob after Bethel, he didn't really change too much. As a matter of fact, when God tells him, go back to church here, in chapter 35, Jacob's having some issues, and God says to him, go back to church. Look, and God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, go to church. It's a pretty good start, isn't it? Go to church. You got problems? Go to church. Go to Bethel. And you can see here that Jacob, there's still things in his life. You look at verse 2. Then Jacob said, okay, we're going to church. And he told his household, you know what? Put away all the strange gods that are among us. Get clean and put on your Sunday best because we're going to church. See, there were still strange gods. There were still idols. There were still things in his life that had not been dealt with. He was religious. He had an experience with the house of God, but not with the God of the house. Amen. See, we can be in the presence of God, but the presence of God not be in us. We can attend church just like the religious churches, the traditional churches. We tick the box, we went to church. And we have an experience with the house of God, which is not bad. It's not bad. The house of God, the building, the beautiful pews, the coffee and the music and the fellowship, the house of God, the culture. I go to that church because, and you can put after that why you go to a church. I go to that church because. Very rarely does someone say, I go to that church because the presence of God is there. I go to that house because the presence of God is there. And then you could care less if they serve coffee after the service or they do. I'll go and have church under a tree if the presence of God is there. Hallelujah. That in a cathedral that is cold and empty and nothing happens. Liturgical and religious sacraments. Traditional things that we do them and we leave. And we're still empty. There's still strange things in our life. There's still idols. Our name hasn't been changed. Amen. We're in the presence, but the presence is not in us. There hasn't been a drastic change. There hasn't been a transformation. Beloved, I'm going to say to you this morning, the greatest need of the church of this nation is for the presence of God to come back. And you say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, it's a church. The presence of God should be there. Not always. There's a word in the Hebrew there in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that is the word Ichabod. The word Ichabod literally means the glory or the presence has left. And there is a downward spiral that leads us towards Ichabod. But we need the presence of the Lord in the church. I was amazed when I was reading one day and studying Josiah. There in Chronicles, Josiah, this king of 8 years old, when he comes on the scene of the kingdom, his priority is to bring down the altars and the idols to Baal. Amen. And as he gets old, he gets into the 16 years old, he's still doing this clean out of what had come into Israel. But this is what really got to me. Then he turned his attention, it says to the house. He turned his attention to the house of God. He says, I've cleaned up out there, but now I'm looking at to the house, to the temple. And listen to this. And the Ark of the Covenant, that represents the glory and the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, it was not in the temple, it was outside the temple. And the temple, if you read it and you study it, had been overrun by Baal worship. In the temple, they had raised and erected idols to Baal. And the Baal priests in the temple were lifting up sacrifice to Baal. And when Josiah says, the house of God is not for that. He said, he took out all the prophets. He killed them. He completely destroyed all the idols and all that which had been erected, the altars to Baal in the house. And when they had done that, he sent a couple of his leaders to go in and to begin doing the refurbishing. And when one of his leaders goes into one of the back rooms, and in the back room, as he's going through the rubble, he finds something that had been hidden. Do you know what he finds? You know what he found? He found the book of the Lord. He found the book of the law. We could say he found the Bible that was hidden in a back room somewhere. See, because the moment we stop proclaiming the word of God, the moment we stop proclaiming the truth of God, is the moment that God's presence begins to lift. And you actually, Ichabod comes after the first verse, first two or three verses in 1 Samuel chapter 3, which says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. There was no word. And when there's no word, eventually results in no presence. And so the way you get the presence back is the rocket science, is to get the word back. We've got to start preaching the word. The word of God. And so Josiah said, read that book to me. And they began to read the book of the law, the word of God. They began to read it. And Josiah threw himself on the ground and repented with sackcloth and ashes. And they began to clean out the temple. And then he said, now bring the Ark of the Covenant. And they brought it in. And the presence of God came into the house of God. And they celebrated Passover. Church, I say to you today, the greatest need of the church in our nation is for the presence of God to come into the house. I did a survey once in my church. What's the greatest need of the church today? More money. A kids program. Youth. Better music. A better auditorium. And no one's put it there. The presence of God. The word of God. Amen. Number one, we need the presence of God, church. We've got the house of God pretty well down patted. And people have a great experience at the house of God. We know how to give them a good experience at the house of God. And as pastors, we have been trained to do that. I think that's what they change pastors more than anything now in Bible college, how to have a beautiful house of God. How to, can I keep going, Pastor? Is it okay? This is your church, not my church. How to be seeker sensitive and appease the culture so that they can have a good time in church. We should be spirit sensitive. How can we appease the Holy Spirit so that His presence comes. And so that you, beloved, you see, my greatest responsibility as a pastor of the church is, yes, to create a house of God that is comfortable and beautiful and to have a nice experience. But my greatest role and ministry as a pastor, and that's what I pray all week about, is that I then introduce the people to the God of the house. And the God of the house, if He comes in, His presence and His glory comes, then that's when all of a sudden it becomes the gate of heaven. Bodies are healed. Marriages are set free. Come on, church, hallelujah. People are saved. Addictions are broken. What we read in the book of Acts becomes real in our lives and in our churches. I don't just want to read about the power of God. I don't just want to read about the presence of God. I want to experience the presence of God in our generation, church. And I really believe, and I've been studying this for a very, very long time, that people are craving for the presence of God. People want to go into a church and listen, church, they're not too interested in how we do things because the world does it better sometimes. The world does entertainment better than the church. Come on, they've got Hollywood behind them, they've got money. And so they come to church not looking for another something to entertain them. They're looking for something deeper because there are issues that people are going through that cannot be dealt with by entertainment. It takes the presence of God to come on the scene. Amen. And do that which needs to be done in their lives in a moment's time. Amen. And yeah, the presence of God, I joke with my church, you know, yeah, the presence of God, when He comes, it might get messy. Yeah, you know, it might disrupt our agenda, but it'll get the job done. Amen. His presence. God wants you to experience the God of the house. Push in. If you come to my house, you go to Jared's house. Let's use Jared. That's better. You go to Jared's house. And once a week you go to his house for 2 hours. Amen. And you knock on the door and he opens the door and he says, "Hey, come in." So you walk in and you have a time spent with Jared, and in that conversation, you're sort of going to get to know him. You're going to look at the wall. And in the photos that he's got on the walls, you're going to see that he's married and how many children he has. When he gives you food, you're going to know what food he likes. You're going to get to know him a little bit. If he was a sportsman or he played soccer or rugby league, he might have a cupboard full of trophies. And you're going to go, "Wow, Gerard was a soccer player back in the days." Do we prophesy? Hallelujah. Do we call those things that be not as though they are? Gerard was a weightlifter back in the days. You're going to get to know him a little bit because of the culture of his house, because of the time spent with him. But then when you leave his house after the 2 hours, you're not really driving your car thinking about Gerard. Well, I hope not. You're not going Tuesday morning to work and going, "Wow, that was wonderful with Gerard. That was a wonderful time I had with Jared." He's not on your mind the whole time. But then next week you come back, you knock on the door, you come, "Hey, Jared, how you doing?" You sit down and you start getting to know him. You know him up to a certain extent because of what you see, because of what you hear, because of what you eat. But Jared's wife, she knows him. Don't want to go a little bit further. She knows him. They know each other intimately. So when Jared's wife walks out of his house, the house of Jared, she knows the Jared of the house very well. Too well. She probably knows when he's angry just by the look on his face. She knows him. She knows the Jared of the house. You and I know the house of Jared. We know what, you know, the images we see on the walls. We know what he likes to eat. His house, his culture. His wife knows the Jared of the house. So listen to this. When she walks out of his house, she's still got a ring on her finger. She's still married to Jared. Hallelujah. Because she knows the man, the Jared of the house. When I meet him and I get to know him and I know the food he likes and I know him based on his house, I walk out of that house and I sort of disconnect. I'll see you next week, Jared. I don't pick up the phone to call him. I don't write him a letter. I'm not thinking about him all day. Jared, wow, Jared. I'm not in relationship with him. But when I come back next week, hey, Jared, how you doing? I've been thinking about you all week. You liar. I just cannot wait to meet you. And then when I say goodbye, it's disconnect. That's how we are with God. We come to the house of God. We get to know God a little bit because of the culture, because of the sermons, the songs that we sing. We know the lingo. We know when to say amen. We know when to lift up our hands. We know how to sit in church. We know how to act. Amen. But God wants to take us deeper, that we don't just know the house of God, but we now know the God of the house, which means when I walk out that door, I don't go, see you later, God. I'll see you next Sunday. I'm back to my world and back to our idols, back to our lifestyle. Amen. Back to doing things how we want, back to talking the way we talk, thinking the way we think, looking at what we shouldn't look at, acting in a way that's not godly. But next Sunday morning, how you doing, brother? I'm good. Glory to God. And we throw some tongues in there just to sound real spiritual, you know? And you know you haven't been praying at all week. And I know that I haven't even been reading the Bible all week. And I come to church and I see, like Jacob, put on your Sunday best. Put the eye. It's like God, as if can we fool God? It says that they hid the idols in underground so that God wouldn't see them. And he turned, and you can see that. Get changed, get dressed. We're going to church. It's like we put on the Christian mask. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And so we sing the songs, we listen to the sermons, but then during the week, there's no relationship. Amen. God, what's the time? God so wants to have a relationship with you. Amen. If you remember in Revelation chapter 2, he's talking to a church at Ephesus. He says, look, man, you're a good church. You're a good church. I'm just paraphrasing here. He says, you labor. He says, you labor. You know how to discern apostles that are false. You know the Bible. He says, got great qualities, like 10 great qualities of this church. But then in verse 4, he says, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. Wow. What do you mean, God? But we're doing everything we've got to do. Yes, but it's religion. Yes, but because you have to, not because you want to. Amen. The average believer today, amen, would rather go to a buffet dinner than to church. Would rather go to a sports event than to church. You know why? Because church has become a thing that we do. It's become traditional. And listen, it does get boring doing the same thing every Sunday. I mean, let me tell you one thing. It won't get boring when blinded eyes are opened. It won't get boring when demons are going out of people. Come on. It won't get boring when we start seeing the presence of God manifest in our services. That's exciting. It's like, come on. So you go, We're going to the house of God, and who knows what can happen. Oh, I'm excited about tomorrow morning. I can't wait to get to church. And you're driving your car like, oh, my, we're going to have a service today. Why? Because we're not just going to the house of God. We're going to meet the God of the house. And when you meet the God of the house, anything can happen. When you meet the God of the house, that's when all things are possible to them that believe. Come on. And can you imagine, you got this brother here, that brother, that sister, and the brother at the back. We all come with the same mindset. Amen. And that's when God moves, where there's expectation. But the truth is, can I keep going a little bit more? Who gives me 5 minutes? Yes? I've done this before, so you're being very careful. Yeah, 5, 10, 15, 20. Praise God. We've got 20 more minutes now. The truth is, the average demon knows what's going to happen in many Pentecostal churches Sunday morning. Even they know. Because it's all just the house of God. It's all structured. The time has come, church. And I'm encouraging you this morning. This is not a rebuke, because that's what the pastor does. I'm encouraging you. I'm encouraging you, church. Push more. Hallelujah. One moment in his presence, you watch what it can do in your life. If we go to the GP, to the doctor with such excitement, such expectation, and such, not excitement, no one goes excited to the GP, but you go knowing that you're going to get an answer to whatever, you know, they're going to touch you. Oh, okay, you got, well then, we've got the God of the universe. The God of the universe can show up. And that should cause us to say, I'm going to go, there's problems in my marriage. There's problems with my children. There's problems in my finances. And I serve the God of this universe. I'm going to go to his house. But I'm not just going to stay at his house. I'm going to go further. And I'm going to meet the God of the house. Amen. And I'm going to push through until I experience his presence. Until he does something in my life. Beloved church, when we get to that place, church will never be the same again. And the people out there, I believe with all of my heart, the people out there will be running to our churches. The reason they're not running to our churches is because our churches have become so predictable. And we're living in the age of everything fast, everything different. Amen? I was watching last night the AFL Grand Final. It was a totally different game to last week. Totally different game. Tonight, the Rugby League Grand Final. Yeah. I was going to say the Broncos, but I just held myself there. No. Amen. But people are going to watch that game like, it's another rugby league game. It's just another rugby league game. But why are they so excited? Because something's going to happen. It's going to be different. So we've got to come to church, beloved. Not like we're going to a funeral, but like we're going to meet the God of the house. When I was going out with my wife, and I would go to her house to visit her. I wasn't going to her house per se. I was going to see her. Her name's Erica. The Erica of the house. I was going to see her. So when I'm driving, I'm not going, oh, I've got to go and see her again. Oh, I wish I could go somewhere else. There wasn't much to her house. It was just her house. But what was exciting me was to meet her. The same with church. You don't go, oh man, I gotta go to church again. Oh, I wish I didn't have to, but I gotta go. Pastor Jared's gonna call me. I don't want to hear Pastor Jared calling me Tuesday morning. Where were you? So I gotta go to church, and we get in the car and let's go to church. Let's go and put up for 2 hours. Let's go. Let's go. It won't be that long. Let's go. No, no. When the prospect of having an encounter with the God of the house is there, we get into our car and we say, let's go. We're going to go and worship Jesus. We're going to go and hear his word. We're going to go and praise him. We're going to go and pray. And you know what, wife, children? We're going to believe God's going to do a miracle in our lives today. We're going to believe God's going to answer our prayers, because there's a ladder. There's a gate of heaven. Surely the presence of the Lord is in that place. It's an awesome place. We don't just want to be left there. That's Bethel. But we want to go to Bethel. And now we get into that awesome place that God has provided for us. Can you say amen to the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up this morning. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. I came to encourage you, church, this morning, that this house, this is a house of God. Yes, it is a house of God. Surely the presence is in this place. I can sense it. I can sense His presence. But don't just sense His presence. Don't just look at His presence from afar. How about now we experience the God of the house? Raise your hands right there where you are. The musicians and the singers can come and play softly as the Lord leads. Maybe there's a song there that you've got on your heart. Let's just have a moment. We've got a few minutes there. I'll hand it over to Pastor Gerard. But let's just have a, can we just have two or three or four minutes just raising our hands to the God of the house? See, I wrote something here, and I'm going to share it with you quickly. See, the Lord said to me, don't just read the book that talks about God. Talk to God. Don't just read the book that talks about God. Talk to God. See, we've been singing songs that talk about Jesus, but let's worship Jesus. Let's experience Jesus. Amen. Let's raise our hands. Let's just worship. If you want to sing a song that you feel will be appropriate right now, I'll just get the church. Don't just sing the song, but worship. Worship Jesus. Do you have a problem today? Do you have a problem? Do you have an impossibility? In His presence, everything can change. It's His presence. It's His presence that makes the difference. We need His presence. We need to experience the God of the house, not just the house of God. I love this house. I love coming to this church. There's an aroma. There's an excellence. There's a something so, they've done an amazing job. This is the house of God. But I don't just want to be left with that. I want to have an encounter with the God of this house. And He's here today. And He's here today. So, let's go from Bethel to El Bethel. From Bethel to El Bethel. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, Abba Sire, You are here. Oh, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. You never stop, never stop working. Come on, push, push, push. Go to El Bethel. Go to El Bethel. Go to El Bethel. Go to El Bethel. El Bethel. The God of the house. The God of the house. The God of the house. Yeah, Lord, You're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Push, push. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the dark. Yeah. Waymaker, my God, that is. Hallelujah, Lord. Miracle work, promise. Hallelujah. Let it be, God. Let it be. Miracles. miracles. Hallelujah. 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 Just play softly there. Play softly. Just play softly there. Play softly. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Let's just hold that a little bit more there. The presence of God is here. The God of the house is here. Go in. Surrender to God. Open up your heart to God. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to him today. Come to the God of this house. Come to the Jesus of this house. Cast your burdens upon him. Cast your cares, your anxieties, your worries. There are people here that are fearful. There's fear. There's people that are feeling, living life with a sense of guilt from the past, things that have happened. There's a heaviness from the past. You cannot let go of it. The Lord says, if you come into my presence today, I will take that off you now in Jesus' name. That'll come off you now. That'll come off you today. There is healing available. Bones, back, spinal cords. Creative miracles. But that happens in the presence. We've got to get in that presence. It's here. It's here. It's here. If there's a husband and a wife that you're going through struggles and only you know about, you want to go to a counselor, you want to go to a psychologist, you're trying to get help in the presence. God can do in 1 minute what a counselor takes him a year to do. I'll grab your wife's hand. I'll say, let's worship. Let's worship together. Let's get into that presence together. As a husband and as a wife, let's meet the God of this house. We need him right now. We need some things to happen. I mean, we cannot continue going on like this. And if the presence of God is here, I want to meet that presence. I want to get into that presence. I need a miracle. Would that be anyone here today who says, I need a miracle. I need God to do something in my life. Maybe you have been a Christian for a long time and you've dried up. And see, even myself, I can do ministry and we can fall in love with the ministry and forget to fall in love with the God of the ministry. And the ministry becomes hard. Ministry becomes a burden. We can fall in love with the ministry and stop falling in love with the God of the ministry. Because we stop getting into that presence. We get so busy, so caught up with life that we forget to find that place of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, repent so that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing. There's summer, I sense that in my spirit. Hallelujah. Dry. You've lost the passion. You've lost the enthusiasm. You've lost the joy of your salvation. You've lost the vitality. The energy. It's becoming hard. Depression, stress. Well, there's a place right now in his presence to revive you, to pick you up, to bring life back in. So can we just do that again, just for two more minutes, three more minutes? I'll hand it over to Pastor Jerome now. He can take it. But there's a place. There's a place. We cannot rush the Holy Spirit. There's a place. Because I don't know what you're going through and you need an answer today. So there's a place. Let's meet the God of the house as we worship this. Let's go in. Come on, let's press in. We'll hand it over to Jerry and let's take it. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, brother.
Let's lift our hands. Let's worship Him this morning. Let's finish this. We're in His presence. We give You glory, Lord. We give You glory, Jesus. We worship You. We give You glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we declare as a people, Lord, as Your house this morning, Lord, we declare our love for You. We declare, Lord, that we're thirsty for You. Lord, we thank You for Your presence amongst us. Lord, we just declare today we long for more. Lord, we want all that You have. Lord, we say fill us afresh. Just lift your hands this morning. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're thirsty today, lift up your hands. If you're dry, as Steve said, lift up your hands. Lord, we long for You. We long for more of You. Lord, we say, fill us afresh. Fill this house with Your presence. Lord, fill every vessel here. Lord, may we thirst through the week. May we leave here today not just challenged or stirred, but Lord, may we step into more. May we take steps, Lord, to be in Your presence, to abide there and to draw from that well that never runs dry. Lord, we just thank You for the word of the Lord today that has stirred us, and we just bless You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Steve a big thank you. Clap.